terrible. I've gone places where occasionally to read where they're not used to having poetry readings, evidently. They applaud after every poem, and of course the applause just lessens and finally completely peters out. You feel worse for it, you know. Everybody feels bad. As I said before, Steve and David and I had a falling out, or I should say Steve and I had a falling out with David, and it was at a time when Steve's life was pretty much up for grabs anyway. and I very seldom write poems that are about specific events. Rosebud is one exception, and this poem is an exception because I think for the only time in my life I felt a moral kind of commitment to write something about what had happened, at least peripherally, without talking about it very directly, and to support Steve. The poem begins after the falling out had happened, when Steve and I, a couple days later, were sitting in a darkened room talking to each other. A commitment for Steve Orland. After I watched your face, behind its mask of talk, deaden, then grow animate, alternating light and dark as you bowed and drew yourself erect under the lamplight of someone else's room in which we talked, I was restored. Though in the minor darkness of my heart, where I'm most alone, I wanted to take your masculine face between my hands and press for strength. The skull, for me, is death and strength, merely objective in a world of sense. Within a month, you lost your wife and then your friend, but not to death. I knew their leaving had the appearance of a judgment on your life. Because the friend was also mine and gone, because I loved your wife, in you or apart, and because you wouldn't turn aside, I tilted the lampshade down and drifted with you on the edge of dark. I remembered an evening with friends in a small boat on a lake. It was September. The late afternoon light and wine we drank warmed us to each other. Our quietness then passed from the shadows of trees close to the water. It seemed we had drifted out over a great emptiness, silent, held only by our composure. I think now of those friends. I let them go. Really, only for the ease of letting go. Now when I visit and attend their lives, they are partly strange. I know my hesitation seemed to judge their house. I wanted to say, as I watched you steady yourself in the dark, I was restored by your bearing and openness to pain, a commitment to what you had already lost. Our talk was personal. I said it in another way. But if all our losses are a form of death, a mirror in which we see ourselves advance, I believe in its terrible, empty reflection, its progress from judgment toward compassion.